From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. Bath Iron Works has confirmed that the person who shot and killed two people, wounded three others, and then took their own life at a Rhode Island youth hockey game yesterday was an active employee of the company. Pawtucket Police Chief Tina Gonzalez identified the shooter at a press conference last night.
So what I can say right now that we have identified the person, the suspect, by a birth name. The birth name was Robert Dorgan. We have also learned that the person does go by the name of Roberta, also uses a last name of Esposito.
In a statement from BIW, a spokesperson said, quote, "We extend our deepest sympathies to the victims, their families, and all those affected by this tragedy. Any further questions related to the investigation should be directed to law enforcement." Pawtucket police have identified the two deceased victims as the shooter's own son and ex-wife. The victims' names have not been officially released yet, and the shooting remains under investigation. Central Maine Power is proposing to lower customer bills by about $4 a month, at least for the time being. CMP's Dustin Vlodkowski says it wants a temporary electric rate while state regulators develop recommendations for long-term rate and investment plans.
What we're offering here is a solution that's meant to be a bridge to that multi-year plan guidance, and we are you know, looking at that process as it plays out with the Maine Public Utilities Commission.
Vlodkowski says savings from reduced storm costs and grid investments account for the lower rate. Last year, the Public Utilities Commission rejected CMP's five-year, $1.5 billion rate plan after outrage from customers and state officials. The Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention has confirmed four additional cases of measles since the disease was first detected in the state on February 6th. The cases are all from Penobscot County and had exposure to the first reported case. Measles is highly contagious and can cause flu-like symptoms and skin rashes. It's preventable through vaccines, though the Maine CDC says all four of the infected individuals are unvaccinated. Individuals with symptoms should contact their health provider before going to a hospital. The nonprofit Prime Healthcare Foundation has officially acquired Central Maine Healthcare. The purchase includes Central Maine Medical Center and Cancer Care Center in Lewiston, Bridgeton Hospital, Rumford Hospital and Community Home, Bolster Heights Assisted Living Center in Auburn, and more than 40 physician practices. All hospitals and facilities will keep their current names and local leadership, and Prime Healthcare Foundation says it will retain substantially all CMH employees and honor existing provider and physician contracts. The state of Maine approved the purchase late last year with conditions, which includes a commitment to operate the facilities for at least the next 5 years and maintain essential services. Prime says it will also invest $150 million into Central Maine Healthcare over the next 5 years. A Maine attorney and philanthropist Robert Fuller Jr. has died. Maryland police say they're treating Fuller's death at a senior living facility as a homicide and say he suffered head trauma and had been shot. Robert Fuller Jr. was 87. In 2013, he donated a statue of his distant cousin, Melville Fuller, who served as U.S. Chief Justice, that was displayed outside the Kennebec County Courthouse. Fuller was the Chief Justice when it decided a case in 1896 that established the separate but equal doctrine that permitted racial segregation. In the wake of the George Floyd killing in 2020, the statue was removed. Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins says she'll back a strict voter identification bill requiring a photo ID at the polls and proof of citizenship to register. Steve Missler has more.
The proposal recently cleared the GOP-controlled House despite near-unanimous opposition from Democrats, including Maine Representatives Jared Golden and Shelley Pingree. Golden had supported a previous version of the bill. The amended version includes a requirement that states turn over their voting rolls to the Department of Homeland Security to check for non-citizen voters, an extremely small number, according to voting rights advocates on the left and right. In a statement, Collins said the photo ID requirement makes sense. and that her support came after the bill was amended to remove a requirement that voters prove their citizenship at the polls, not just at registration. The bill is a top priority for President Donald Trump, who has falsely claimed that non-citizen voters cost him the 2020 election. The measure faces long odds in the Senate because of the filibuster. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
A Deer Isle nonprofit is working to add another 12 housing units in Stonington. The group Island Workforce Housing plans to rent the units to people with year-round jobs on the island. Peter Roth, a founding member of the organization, says their focus is on working households.
Folks, you know, earning anywhere from $25 to, you know, $60 an hour on the island. And there is literally nothing that people can rent or buy on the island that's workable for them.
The lack of affordable housing has forced many young people to move off the island. And Roth says even if they can find a rental in the winter months, demand spikes in the summer, pushing people out. An Augusta man is working with the city to move a historic house designed by Maine architect John Calvin Stevens and save it from demolition. The house is located on Western Avenue, and the property is the site of a proposed office building. That's left the house facing demolition until Richard Parkhurst stepped in and agreed to relocate the structure. Parkhurst says he sees this as a chance to retain a piece of local history.
And I just love historic buildings, and I hate to see them torn down. So I see this as an opportunity where we can move this house, reset it on a foundation, and it can become a lovely single-family dwelling.
Parker says the next steps will include demolishing some additions to the building, which are not historically relevant. He hopes to be able to move the building by the end of May. And residents of Aroostook County felt a small earthquake yesterday evening. The U.S. Geological Survey reports that a 2.3 magnitude quake occurred yesterday at about 6:55 p.m., It happened about 3 miles northwest from Bridgewater at a depth of more than 3 miles. Maine typically sees small earthquakes during the year and has already experienced several in 2026. And that's this evening's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, artist David Driscoll. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.